is a production of Cornell University.
And we'll call the Wednesday, June 18th meeting of the Employee Assembly to order. Our first item on the agenda, are there any late additions to the agenda or anything anybody would like to add or talk about at any point?
No.
All right. I'd like to ask for approval of the minutes or any changes of the minutes.
I'd like to make the change, have the change made that the attendees that are present be updated.
Okay. What was the issue?
I'm not on there. Steve isn't on there. There's a bunch of people that were here that are not listed.
All right. For those of you in the room that was...
I'll update it.
You will?
Yeah.
Do you have a list?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So with that change, any other corrections? No? All right. Can I ask for a motion to approve?
Second.
Is there any dissent? All right. Seeing none, those are approved unanimously. We have a guest with us today. We have Gary Stewart. Gary, thanks so much for coming. I turn the floor over to you for your presentation, and then I'm sure we'll probably have some questions afterwards.
Yeah, I'll get out of here real quick. So, I used to be at the end from 2003 to 2010, and somebody was saying, I've been right here for 4 years, and when I left, I was given a little certificate that said I was curmudgeon emeritus of the employee assembly, so it hangs probably on my office wall. I think I drove the assembly crazy because I had this brilliant plan to spend the membership for 33 seats, and I had all this worked out, and it lasted about 3 seconds in the air before it got shut down. But nevertheless, I'm here today, seeing many old familiar friends, so thank you. This is a simple pitch. I'd like to be able to use the resources of the employee assembly to put out volunteer opportunities to staff members. This is something we hear about in the community all the time. I'm the Director of Community Relations. Cornell obviously does a lot of volunteer work in the community, students, staff, and faculty. It'd be nice to have some way to put out volunteer opportunities on a regular basis so that our staff could see it. It just wouldn't be as a concentric. We'd go near and far, where 25% of our staff lives outside of Thompson County. And my shop would be willing to take on the responsibility of compiling and editing and then giving it to the assembly's office for distribution. And I think it'd be great for the university, I think it'd be great for the community, and would really reflect the commitment that we have in the community at many levels that a lot of people don't see or realize. So I guess the one pager I put together got distributed correct, and I hope it's self-explanatory. We'll take any questions on this or any comments or advice.
Open the floor up for discussion.
Has there been any discussion with the service learning office to see if staff could be one of the things that were added to their website and the resources that they offer?
Is that what it is, public service center?
Because I know when I got here as an employee, I was like surprised that they have opportunities for students and opportunities for faculty, and then staff is forgotten.
Yeah.
And so I like that you're trying to push something that provides those opportunities because I was looking for them. But is there any, have you talked to them at all to see if there's a way to work in hand with them instead of separately, entirely?
Yeah, well, their mission over there, yeah, we do a lot of work with them. So their mission is really student-driven. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, it's faculty advisors helping the students with the connectivity. I think on an average year, there's about 300,000 volunteer hours from the students. Volunteers were worth study hours. So my thought was, once we had this, that I would feed it to them and a couple other places, but the EA would be the driver on this thing. And working with them on and off on different stuff, this is only going to work if there's like a protocol and there's some consistency and commitment. And up to 12 years ago, my whole career was in the newspaper business. So I'm a pretty good editor. I value the concept of deadlines. I know how to put together stuff in a succinct manner, and would be willing to take this on and make sure that it happens. I don't think there's anything worse than a good idea that no one takes ownership of and then dies 3 months later from this infection. And I'm not saying that happened with public service, but I think that if we control this, that it will be a better product.
So the thing that I like about it is it's not something that I would necessarily go out to see actually come to me. So like I read the example that you sent out or that forwarded, and I didn't realize that there was be like a very day or couple days giving it. So that was something I said, oh, and I could book and volunteer for that. I think the other thing that this can do is just getting the EA's name out there, being more visible, you know, we're committed to sending something once a month that's going to have an EA to do it. And I was further saying on a few names that we would do it, that the EA can also use as an opportunity to promote volunteer opportunities to the EA. So if we had an open seat on a committee, could we add that to this
sure.
as well? Or, you know, an open vacancy on so for an event that we're doing or something like that, you want volunteers to add to that. That book.
It's a great idea.
The third thing is the senior staff would realize the value of staff volunteering, encourage it more, and then maybe down the road actually say, you know, have some standard hours that you would have within your work life for volunteering in the community. And that became more a part of our culture. You know, we talk about it. We, you know, no one ever don't do it. But it would be great if it was more structured. I mean, I deal with volunteers all across the country every day. And you see some colleges and universities where it's just like, yeah, this is what you do. So if you put your volunteer hours in town yet this week, you know, get out of here. You know, we're not there. I can't imagine being that, like that. But this will help, like, kind of raise the bar a little with the leadership of the employee assembly.
How can we track participation or engagement through some of these opportunities? Are there ways that we can collect that information or data? You know, like you readily knew the volunteer hours for the public service center. Is there some way that we can, through this, capture that?
Yeah, it's been interesting over the years. So, John has kind of town gown, you know, kind of town gown, is that right? So, it's such a delicate dance. Here in Cornell. Over the years, we'll do like economic impact studies. We'll try to take hours that aren't monetary driven, but sometimes can be volunteer driven. And we'll ask staff or faculty, like, what are you volunteering at? And some people will reply, look at, when I'm volunteering, I'm not doing it for Cornell. I'm doing it for, you know, my PTA. I'm doing it for my church. I really don't. You know, I don't want to tell you where I'm working and how many hours I'm working, because it's not for Cornell. And I get that too. So it's sort of like wanting to know without being too intrusive, because you know people have lives. Some of us do anyway. But I hear what you're saying. It'd be great to figure out some way to one see if it works.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think even before taking it to the next step. It's just what type of participation alone are we getting from that, and is it serving its purpose?
Yeah, that thing would take about 4 months to like become part of people's consciousness. They go, oh yeah, this isn't just going away. This is like this is as steady as rain. This is happening. This is part of EA life and victim opportunities.
So could we capitalize on using
the Cornell hiring emails, they do that to constant contact with the registered rates. Maybe, let's at least measure how many people are opening it and how many people are making it. This could also be an opportunity for volunteering where you get funds back for like a care fund. Like I know my son's track team, if they go and volunteer at the Senior Olympics and stuff, they get some funds or something back to the track team somehow.
Yeah. And where does somebody saw something from here went, had a tremendous opportunity and wrote you guys two sentences. just want to let you know, I volunteered at the food pantry last week. Wonderful experience, thank you. You know, it's like a mini testimonial that we did or something like that. But it, I hope it can happen. I hope we can get it out of the dock in good shape. I mean, I've been involved in so many projects in Cornell where a simple concept gets mushed out of the powder before it gets out of the door. And I'm hoping this can.
So, are we just
going to get
paper copies of these, or is it going
on electronic? Is it the electronic through the EA? Ian, is it still
in this? Yeah. Sort of towards that end, I think this is a great opportunity, especially because the initiative is to make it monthly, that there needs to be some regularity. So, Eric, maybe we could even tie in, you know, now we have an automatic lead for the EA News, you know, that goes out. We actually use, we're in the process of transferring, you mentioned Constant Contact, a major overhaul is happening to the web-based systems in the office, one of which is the listserv that we use. Both Simpa and we're going to be using Lyris will allow us to look at the click-through rates and the kinds of metrics that would be useful just to see if people are even opening it. It wouldn't necessarily be specific to this column in the e-news, but at least we can track the readership. My taking off my support from the office and putting on my employee hat, almost irrespective of whether or not this has an outcome that's quantifiable, it's a good thing to share this information. As an employee, I would love to know where these opportunities are. And like you could, you know, I mean, I had no idea that any of these, there was a day of giving, you know, a day of doing stuff.
So I was being busy. And the other thing, when I was on EA, I would just want to make sure that people knew the existence.
Yeah.
And let's figure out so many different ways. We take many ways, many strategies. And I just think this is another one. To think, wow, this is a great good. This would represent me.
Yeah. And it's a great partnership, a great opportunity to partner with your office. Wait a minute, that curmudgeon thing.
So one of the programs out of our office that we had run that was actually very highly attended was volunteers and their children, that we were looking for employees who were playing London, especially for the one that's so busy. One of the only ways we were supposed to volunteer on their off-time is they wanted that education for children and for also, when you look at those opportunities, it just be a good one for your family. Mm-hmm. And I think we may get a lot of
I didn't hear Nancy. What?
I wondered if there was a place for Pawtrick, or biweekly, we all coordinate. We always have the logo, the EA logo right there.
Yeah.
Opportunities. So this is just another avenue of getting it out, and also we can make sure that at least the shortened three-day version gets out in hard copy.
That's great.
Has there ever, like in terms of popper and things, have there ever been anything like this before? That you know?
I have non volunteer opportunities as known about them,
but not like
nothing on a regular basis. And that might be another thing to think about in terms of the EA column, because we've been doing the profiles of people. I think we've got practically everybody covered. There may be a few left, but if you want to use the EA column as a regular place to put these out once a month, then that would be just another avenue.
Office of Community Relations with you guys as lead, because your resources would be employees that get this out, and then basically give me a EA blessing.
We'll get after it. I'm trying to find a clever name for this thing. Yeah, this is VO. I was thinking of like red ops, like, but you know, just clever people that just maybe can find something that's a little catchier than my awkward session. We're just a
paper point.
So, basically,
that's
a good idea. Let's
proceed.
Go ahead.
I think it can be a little bit more than just the distribution, yes. I mean, insofar as that, I mean, Gary can send me an email and we can send it out. But it is a great opportunity. One of the things that this body is trying to do is engage. This is a great way to do that. It will have, whether it's in the paw print, which I think is a great idea, or even just, you know, whether people may not want to participate in the employee assembly, but they may want to volunteer in their community. And if it's branded as an EA initiative, all of a sudden people know what we are, that this is a part of something that the employee assembly does. And that's a great thing. And it's Gary and I, Gary sending something and me pushing a button, but the benefits are much broader than that.
What's really nice is we're kind of literally about a mom.
Right. Next door to BJ.
You have to add another string to your count.
Yeah. Volunteer information, say on the President's Council on Alcohol and Other Drugs, and we have volunteer opportunities. Do I contact you? Do I contact Tina? Do I contact
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question because I think, you know, I'm imagining this as an option that a second of EH. I think EH use it for what they need to use it for. I think if we get into Cornell stuff, we're going to be adding in a layer that can get a little muddy, puddled, and take away from the kind of.
I just think that it could be the food blood, the fun,
So the contact stuff down here. Then you this person in my office will be the contact. And what I'll do is give whoever I need to give to, I'll meet my deadline and say we're going to do this the first Monday each month, Monday morning or whatever. You guys can have a product.
Maybe we set up an alias email account so that if it's Red Ops or C2BO or whatever it is at Cornell or at Assembly or whatever it is, so that there's again that helps with the branding.
It would be great if the Assembly was in there somehow.
Yeah. And that this entity is you know has legitimized a little bit more.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of having
we'll get there. So the first Tuesday of every month.
The EA newsletter goes out.
Yeah.
I have a question. This is, you know, Cornell or employees live in all different communities, and somebody may not want to come back into Ithaca and do enough volunteer things here. So do you have volunteer opportunities for people who might live, you know, outlying communities so that they could do something in their own community?
Yeah, yeah. Where colleagues live, so you know, I know 25% of our staff lives outside of Tompkins County. So I would love to get something from Spencer or Battle County or wherever. So yeah, I know the world doesn't revolve around Ithaca. So I hear what you're saying.
Well, I live 2.9 miles from here, so.
Yeah, and the thing will only work if it represents Cornell staff.
Right.
That's when we'll know it'll work.
I think the next thing that we can do is, like, if I am out in Connecticut County and I volunteer to do something, I can let the person in and say, hey, you should send this over.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be an interesting thing too, is to say, hey, put out a call for community.
I was going to whisper in Greg's face talking. Yeah. The horns that we just heard mean that blasting is going to happen. So I was just going to try and do a little bit.
Okay, well, you jump right in there. Just text me next time. No, but to put out a call to folks who are involved in the community to say, hey, send us some opportunities and we can help promote them.
Right.
Because I think it works both ways, really inviting the community to ask for support.
I was going to, once we're in a group, I was going to put dearly Mr. EA. I was going to put something. There's this Human Service Coalition listserv, which reaches 8,500 people. And I was going to mention that this is a really, really broad countywide thing. And that was even one way to get the word out that, hey, there's like something Cornell is starting this. But I won't do anything without running things by you guys.
Sure.
I'm staff. Consider me like staff for this effort.
So I think BJ and I had a little sidebar here for a second. I think one of the things, more discreetly than Gina's, we'd like to do is get a sort of a sense of body and just make sure that we can sort of get the ball moving forward. But I think the other thing we'd like to do is put sort of a formal resolution together. That way it can be formally communicated to the president's office that we've partnered. It can be sent out to the deans and directors. And there's some more we can do around something that's tangible rather than just sort of a, hey, this sounds great, let's do this.
Yeah, you guys let me know. I'll get out of your way. I did run into Opperman in the hall. I did pitch this. She said, this sounds great. So, because you guys, Mary never likes being blindsided, so I just told her. And thought it was really valuable and really needed. And so, you guys let me know when you want me to come to work for you, and we'll get after it.
All right, sounds great.
All right. Well,
thanks so much.
Thanks. Thank you. Come back.
They're always welcome.
Don't get caught in the black.
Yeah, what a black.
Five minutes after the last.
What are they blasting? The hill?
Carmen. Yeah.
Oh, wow. How exciting. is there any additional thoughts? Do folks think that, a formal resolution, sort of formalizing the relationship, just sort of want to see where we're at, Gage? Show of hands, good idea? Show of hands, bad idea? Okay, that's all I was looking for. So we'll work on getting something formal. That way we can, we can definitely have Gary help us out with that and go from there. Any other questions on the topic? No? All right, well, we'll move on then. I don't really have a report because there hasn't been much going on over the last week and a half. We have... The president's address has a tentative date, but we'll have a final date and more information coming on that later, which we'll send out in an email. So,
what's the tentative?
The tentative is it might not work out, but it's tentatively for the October 28th.
Oh, I thought you meant it might not work out at all.
The tentative date is October 28th, but we're not 100% positive on that date yet. Just sending that out there. Retreat planning, I'm going to turn it over to BJ.
Cool, so we had a little bit, collecting everyone's thoughts from the last meeting, we kind of just wanted to focus and shape them a little bit more. So at our last executive committee We kind of came up with two main themes for the retreat that helped group a lot of the things that we came up with. So the first is kind of brand and identity. So figuring out who the EA is and what we do. And so that covers marketing, understanding our constituency, understanding our current membership, and kind of the expectations of the current assembly members. And then the flip side of that is then the EA's function, so how we do who we are. So the membership procedures, figuring out the structure of the assembly, establishing committee memberships, and then kind of getting a better understanding of parliamentary procedures as well, too. So we're hoping, in terms of an outcome, we're looking at getting a more active membership, kind of an action plan for the year, so we just have somewhere to go, kind of just guiding us. And then, again, just the clarity and the awareness and knowledge of what we're doing for the year as well, too, because I think we all have a sense of what we want to do, but I think it's better when we're all kind of looking in the same direction as well, too. So that's just kind of what we're looking at for the retreat. Thoughts on that?
I had Connor and Bridget.
Can we confirm that it's going to be a full day on the 30th of July? Can we get that on our calendars? I mentioned it to my brother.
Yeah, one of the things I was going to ask is do we want letters maybe from the EA to go to supervisors, or we can send them to you all as staff? Would that be helpful
about the retreat?
So we'll get that on the calendar, and then we'll get working on those letters. Any other thoughts about the proposed agenda? That is a to be determined, and we'll let everybody know. But well, we got a little money left over from last year, so. You know, we're working on a 1 day retreat. We'll get to a 2 day retreat at some point in the future. Isn't there still a hospital there?
I think it's still mostly empty.
Yeah, right? So now we know why everybody signed up to the EA.
Come on, Greg. We've been talking about the trip this year.
We'll get it. We'll get it, I'm sure, at some point, now that I'm on the record saying we'll get it. you got me. any other thoughts on the retreat? Anything that BJ didn't mention that you feel really impassioned about covering? No, we will probably have some, not homework, because I don't like that term, because I think there's a retreat back to our childhood when you say homework, but there'll be some advanced maybe prep work that we might ask you all to engage in, jotting some things down, coming with an open mind. But as we develop sort of the agenda with Jim, we'll have some of those and be sure to pass those along as they come out. But don't be surprised if you get something that says, hey, give some consideration to X, Y, or Z, come with some notes, be willing to participate, those type of things. So, any other questions?
I don't know if it's part of the process, but will you have time, or will you have time to kind of do an in-depth review of our charter and bylaws to see what needs to be done? Or is that something that maybe a separate committee?
That's part of, I think that's falls into like our function, so the how. I think that's, yeah, that is one of the things that we want to look over as well, too. So, yeah.
I think, though, too, the one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to, those documents, I mean, we could spend a year in, you know, looking at those, trying to massage out some sort of better document. So I think we want to get some high-level ideas. And then bring that either back to the executive committee or a separate, you know, group of folks that are interested in that type of work, and then really sort of focus, you know, a smaller number of people to try to come up with something that's really robust, and because we do need, you know, that's one of the priority items is we do need some work on our bylaws and charter for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, we mentioned New York City tax.
I can give a quick update on that.
Okay,
it was something that was explored. May not have made it into the minutes. That actually would take a change to the charter for the university, because the university charter currently only includes Geneva. And when that question was asked, the trustees would not. They're not ready to do that yet. So it's implicit in that, of course, New York campuses are included as part of Cornell University, but how and when that change is made to the university charter was not yet determined at that level. And to the question as to how the, whether their employees or the grad students would be involved in the shared governance programs of Cornell, it likely would be separate from the Cornell campuses and the Geneva campuses. So it's an ongoing question that we've asked and have been asked to stand down on.
Well, it's interesting, the president told us at an EA meeting that we represented the tech campus. So that's, we've been going on that assumption, and again, not really doing much with it because it's not a huge group, but that was the part of our, so it's,
that's good to know. I mean, I think this came from the trustee's office, and so we
need to. Yeah. So I just think maybe we've got an message.
Yep. And that's a good to know.
Jim.
I would just add that the president's going to attend the university assembly and went to the leadership breakfast. Another thing, just says one campus, 1 minute. You know, you should take the opportunity to engage with those people as they become identified and up to the running, both through our medical college as well as
questions that we sort of ask, and again we're asked to, you know, this isn't the, but that's, I mean, that was the response that is up to you to reply to take and say, you know what, that's not a good answer, we still don't know anything, how do we engage these people, so consider me the messenger, and I'm happy to move forward, because I think it is still outstanding. Meanwhile, we've already graduated a class, there's more people coming in, there's big staff.
Do we have staff counts for down there? Do we know what like, I mean, are we talking about 5 people or 50?
It's somewhere in the middle, probably about, I think around 30.
Okay.
And several of them, I mean, well, I was going to say there's union folks, but we have union folks are represented here too. So, yeah, it's a good question.
Well, we opened up a clinic down there as well down in New York City, and we all that had to try to sort out all their needs, everything. And we're told to consider them as ours, and we have to. So even my program, they're supposedly now sending
there. Is
this
the horse one at Belmont?
Yeah.
Yes.
Equine specialist. Yeah.
Sorry, I said horse. I'm just a simple kid from Ohio.
You say horse is the best horse.
Anyway. I'm just making a note here. Sorry, I can't do two things. Any other thoughts on the retreat planning? We good?
Oh, I forgot to add, we will include fun. I left that out. I know that was a lot of...
That's actually the first agenda item.
I was going to say, that was the first. I did not say that, but it will be fun.
Will be fun. President's address planning. Every year we sort of give a little nudge, maybe, on some topics we hope to have covered, ways in which we hope to see certain things discussed. Wanted to just sort of open it up to invite feedback so we could start to maybe craft that message, you know, with plenty of lead time. So, thoughts? What's the name of that award again? I'm drawing a blank.
Appreciation Award.
That's what it
is. What
is it? And we had Workday was last year, right? And then we had facilities, maybe? Or what was it?
Grounds.
Oh, Koali, that's right.
And I think that's everyone.
So we have Workday, Grounds, Koali, First Responders, and Gannett. It's definitely in the pipeline of projected projects, is to update the websites.
I was going to wait for new business, but if now's an appropriate time. As Jim knows, the web tool that the assemblies use were created in-house and functioned because the person who created them could run them efficiently, and Ari is no longer here. So we're transferring things over to different platforms, and it's a challenge because we have to know what the current systems do, how they do it, where they do it, and when, and all those particulars. All that is happening right now, but we're working with CIT to move everything, migrate everything over to commercial products, probably SharePoint for the bulk of it, Lyris instead of the Simpa. Right now, the only thing that's going to stay intact for the foreseeable future is are the election components, because that one's working fine. It's self-sufficient. It can be supported to the extent that it needs to be, and we're not going to bite off more than we can chew right now. But it's a massive effort. We hope to have both platforms running in tandem until we pull the old one out. With the goal is to resolve a lot of the issues that you all have, whether you have them because you actually go in to put stuff in, you try to put things in, it's not intuitive, it doesn't work, or because you want to get information that's not available. So both the back end and the front end will change drastically. The front end, we're going to engage actually a web designer to help us with that, what it looks like, how it feels, the information that is there. Accessible links to whether it's a Facebook site or a self, you know, a self-supporting other website, but making sure that all of the information that's there for practical purposes, because that's what is, that's what the websites are now. They're very, very utilitarian. They archive things, but they're not friendly. They're not happy. You don't go there unless you're trying to get information, and that's just not how we transfer information currently. And so there will be a point when we're working with the designer, once the designer has been chosen, as to any particulars that, that this body, and I'll be going around to each of the assemblies to get particular information so want represented on your face, on your website. We're not there yet. Right now we're still figuring out all of the different pieces, and it's every time I think, okay, we've got this and this is what we need to do, I look down and there's a whole other alley that I didn't even know existed. Again, Ari was, this is so, the breadth of this machine is awesome. It really, he did an amazing job because he knew he could do what needed to be done that didn't exist anywhere else. It's just not sustainable. So we're in the process of that this summer. It's a lot of work. Appreciate your patience, but also your input and guidance. So, Bridget, as you have, you know, I appreciate saying, you know, I don't want to be critical. Be critical. Now's the time to be critical. Now's the time to be specific. Let us know the things that, that aren't working, that don't look right, that, you know, all of that is very, very useful right now. Next year, not so much, but now, come on.
Yeah, next year, keep your mouth shut and enjoy it.
I'm not quite sure, again, how it, whether there's going to be a team that will have representation from each of the different assemblies, whether it's one of the biggest challenges is we have the summer to do this, at least get it launched so that we can run both platforms into the fall, because once the fall starts, I won't have the bandwidth to drive the IT part. So one of the challenges is the timing, if we can get folks together. If not, it'll be a work in progress, but we'll need to get something up that, that at least is accessible to the people that need to be able to put stuff in on the backside, that you can navigate your way through to find the information, and that the information will actually be there. So those are our goals, and then we can. But absolutely, I mean, this is meant to be utilitarian, but also representative of the assembly.
I've written a section of my current manager report to the city about critical things in the current website. Because we don't know what kind of beta tests they'll be able to do, the timelines, etc. So I'm kind of putting high level desirements slash requirements out there, and those people, you know, have to do this and make sense for them based on what they're doing. At some point, though, I do hope that there'll be a more formal plugin, because it's, if it's not just for you, even if it's well designed, it won't be used to the extent it can. And also, you know, there's data testing systems to control. But given the limited time crunch, I would just say put a one-page requirements designer saying, this doesn't work, or this, these should be my keys. Probably there's a lot of overlap, and then they'll do what they can to tackle the list as they go through their adoption.
I think what we'll find, just in fairness, and thank you, actually, that's, I used Jim, part of your report is already in the hands of the CIT folks. You articulated some things that were on the list, but you articulated them differently as a client. It's one thing for me to do it because I'm sitting where I sit, but you're the client. And so I'm going to guess that there will be a lot of overlap between the complaints and the concerns and the suggestions. But let's have, now, honestly, I would really appreciate your input at this point.
So can I just invite everybody to email Gina if you want to copy myself and BJ on that, so that we have sort of an understanding of the dialogue? You know, please, if whatever, you know, it's one thing to say there's issues. We know there's issues. It's another thing to give, you know, what are those issues? You know, what are the things that you've noticed? And even if all of us say the same things, and at least we know that those are then
right.
Big issues that mean something. So please, over the next week or two, send those over to Gina so that we can have the tools that we feel that we need. Yeah, I'd almost say though, because if one person writes one big long thing, how do we know if those are the same issues? You know what I mean?
Right.
I think the repetitiveness or having multiple viewpoints say the same thing, it might. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was gonna say at least just type something, reply to like, yeah, Tanya's points 3 and 4. I also agree with that too.
Right. If we're all,
here's my counterpoint.
Right, so I may say something that Bridget completely disagrees with, and if you're getting from me and her two separate things, there's no dialogue there. There's way there's no
sure.
dialogue.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, send them out. Be great.
Or you can make a SharePoint file.
And I decided.
Wait a minute, it's the same storm like that. Oh, yeah?
Super user group, yeah.
No, but we use SharePoint.
Okay. There's a new university. It's the deadline's the 30th to sign up for that.
I'm not.
There's a meeting, yes.
I just got added.
Did you? I got it for some reason, and I'm trying not to go to it. But I'm trying to volunteer others to go to it at the vet college.
He did.
Yeah, you're on that.
Yeah. I have no idea what it is.
The SharePoint Cornell network of like super users.
Super users. You want to be super?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be a user
SharePoint,
though.
There's going to be a central, yeah, like a central Cornell because of 365 and
right.
I've never used SharePoint.
It's good. It's going to be
yeah.
very good for what we do, yeah.
Okay.
And it's a useful tool, I think, if you do.
You do everything with it.
So go to the meeting. You're on there.
Yeah. It's a Microsoft product.
It
great.
Is.
365, right?
So excited. Are there any other? Sorry. Are there any other discussion points for the president's address other than we've got survey update and the award?
Oh, Mike. Might also be a good time to get an update on where the search is for the new president. And I might already be on.
Okay. Curtis?
If you can talk about the staff components of the team people.
Of the what?
Source indexation.
Mm.
So each unit supposed to name goals and some goals supposed to be related to staff. Now we're just curious too to see how the goals go for the F14 too. Because those are goals should be available back.
Okay. Anything else? Nothing?
When do we
I was gonna mention that. I remembered to mention that as I was sitting there. He did. It was a favorable thank you to our resolution. It wasn't it was essentially the same resolution or the same response that, hey, I'm committed to carbon neutrality, working together. The one thing he did point out was that the campus climate action report would serve as the report mechanism that we've asked for with the Vice President Q. And then he also was... complimentary of Bridget's efforts and also supported that resolution and sent that off to the respective folks that we asked that to go to. So overall, I thought it was a favorable response, and I think he appreciated the way in which we articulated the divestment issue and acknowledged it, but also took into consideration some of the feedback that we'd received already from the trustees, the administration, things like that. So I can forward that out this afternoon so everybody can see it. That came in, I think, yesterday or the day before. So I'll make sure everybody gets to see a copy of that. All right. I had I think as we wear it down to now new business, I had something that wasn't on the agenda, but was just wondering if the parking, if anybody's heard anything, and I know it's parking, we love this topic, right? With the garage closure, if anybody's heard of any issues or anything like that in their different departments. The main football Hoy garage.
I think the A lot.
There's a lot of upset people that there's not
that
many lots of parking spots.
Yeah. But there should be about 120 of them because that's really all there was. Right? And those were permitted, right?
Yeah.
Right, but the
people have to go somewhere.
Well,
that's it.
Yeah.
So
my understanding
go ahead, Jim.
So the University Assembly is going to street this target, and the gravel road is disappearing. The other end of it, whatever the letter was, I think it was N, were underutilized, which are all around, the kind of behind buildings, so it's not in a nice gravel strip. So there is, based on the current utilization of all the other ends, nobody should do is a parking. The one thing they did do was remove N, J was parking N, now J and those can't. So you can have an N permit or you don't. So by making N, it's a premium tier, but it's not a shared tier, you get a premium tiers handle. It's available in the lots that literally are within half a block of that gravel strip. There should be parking for everybody. That's what we were told. The major state, and that's a numerical count thing that they did, and assured us of, and it would be interesting to, so I don't have testimonial feedback that where they know where they can park and where they're going to park. So we're told that there's no loss of spaces based on the empty spots that are being taken for the other end lots that are very nearby. Of course, this is a very convenient central. The other spots are a little less convenient.
They have bus parking there that we utilize a lot for when we have visitors. And when I called transportation to ask them where they were relocating the bus, we don't know yet.
Right, that question.
Like, what do you mean you don't know yet? You've taken them away. You didn't figure this out before?
Where are you?
I work in Bradfield.
Bradfield,
Emerson. And when we have a lot of visitors, give them flex permits so that they can park right out in front across the street from the building. And you don't have that now.
Yeah, because then you probably have to find the closest smaller lot that is available that has that same level here. Because they're all around and they were usually empty. It's just now you're going to have to know which one
right.
to tell that visitor to get there.
I mean, you've got the visitor spot down the road, but it's such a small... I mean, there's only like 5 or 6 spots there, and if our visitors don't get there until later in the day, those are taken.
With your president permission, so we have a committee that ties in the party people. You and those folks have to come to us every year when they're going to make these changes. Also, parking and those kind of things also work with the campus planning committee, which has not been, in my opinion, working as effectively as it should. And so by the time things come to us, we're being informed. Even if we engage the public and got the pushback, it's already essentially a moving train that would be very hard to redirect. And so I'm committed this year to try and improve that. I don't know how far we'll get, but I'm working now with the campus planning office trying to set up better structures. And subsequent to that would be really associated with the parking going forward. It doesn't really help us with this NRX. But if you've got issues where people don't have parking, where the allocations, including the RAC, if you send them to your chair or through your liaisons to the UA, we will be taking that up And please work with us on it so that we don't pull apart.
Right.
So that there isn't too many people right. being told to make aggressions. And let's see if we can have a unified front and then get things adjusted as needed. They're smart people, but yeah, I don't think they really understand some of the small things that really annoy us. And how many people come and visit us on a regular basis? And you know, it really is a challenge. I absolutely.
Why are they facing the rate that I'm not going to permit the new rate?
So, yeah, everyone comes up and says, we're only raising it, you know.
Yes.
Well, if you think about it, right? If they're raising their rates, Tanya was just talking about SIP increases that they're entering in, so their employees get SIPs, their benefits costs increase, their contributions back to the university may increase at a central level. I'm sure they're not just arbitrary, right? I'm sure that there's some science or reason behind it. We may not understand it.
It's also part of their, you got to maintain the roads and all the things, you know, for all these parking lots. There's a big expense to that. And we only cover half of their costs. So it's a very complex model. Not everybody would agree that the model is right. But it is not just a capricious, and then down 100,000, let's raise parking 1.2% to make the gap. But it's a process, again, that the UA is involved with and not well at the moment. We're trying to reconnect it. But we do get briefed on that before the number becomes large. They come and, you know, plead the case and hope that we don't pass a resolution throwing up on it, which we did. Nobody ever liked the parking increase, but the rationale and the amount that they were raised this year did not seem out of proportion with the issues that they were in their financial model that they were working with. That's not a perfect answer, but it's not capricious, I guess is my point. And it is consistently applied for it.
Bridget?
Yeah, they have that.
Now have to pay by the day, or by the hour.
You have to use the Park Mobile. I asked them, because I came up in our office, I called Transportation and asked them.
Yeah,
you had to tell me that instead of purchasing it, instead of going to that Park Mobile, you have to use that Park Mobile.
Park Mobile, which is by the hour.
Okay.
Right.
Or
hold on.
When's the date expire?
2014. So the tickets generally have 3 years on them. They must have had a lot of them and have reordered, or I don't know, but the...
Yeah, my new one's in that
14. Yeah.
So one of the operating expenses that they came up with is one of those camera car mounts that drive through the parking lot and they can tell whether your vehicle is registered to the parking lot.
But they're not doing the specific vehicles though now. But they're not doing the specific vehicles now. They're doing you're the person, you're the ID, you're the registered. So the new pass just has a little bar on it because I'm literally now driving someone else's car just for a couple of days. And I said, so I need to give you the name and here's the tag and here's net IDs all over the place. And he's like, no, it makes no difference. It's your little parking pass. You can drive any vehicle you want. Right. And how the hell they're not going to scan the vehicles because now they have to scan the tag.
So you still have to know. So you still have to know.
still need to register your vehicle so that when they use the camera, they can say, this vehicle is registered with us. There's no parking permit on it. What's going on?
But no, I asked. I'm driving another car.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're driving your car to be registered.
Right.
You don't have a permit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what that camera can do. It's going to pick up on those types of situations. That's why you still need to register your vehicle.
So Bridget, my guess why they're if those expire they're not letting you use them anymore is because if you are a county ride person in the state, your permit is you use that one on that same day last year.
I never questioned why you had to mark off what year it was. I'm just saying that so say I don't have to use that many in the fall, but in the spring when I have certain events,
so so maybe we should invite Gary back because, right, doesn't Gary know a lot about transportation? Or some of the folks from transportation.
Gary who?
Cremins.
Whatever. It's humane, sorry.
But because it sounds like, I mean, parking's, I think every year it's an issue and it's always been an issue. So maybe we can try to find a way to work with the UA's committee. I think our goal is to not overlap, but I also think that we have different needs from what that is. So hearing that sense, I sort of asked the question because as a garage permit holder, that no notification that they were going to take three levels of the garage out.
No.
And if you get there past 8 o'clock, it's like, good luck, where do you go? But it's a friendly reminder to ride the bus when you can, if at all possible. It's a great resource and benefit we have here as staff. So if it works for you, great. If not, understand, and we're happy to take up the parking as an issue. So it sounds like that'll be somebody we'll invite. I would ask that when we do invite them, get some lists of questions or talking points submitted in advance. Because I want to make sure we stay on point with them and can make sure that they don't have to follow up with us, that they can just come prepared to speak on those things.
Oh, yeah.
Has that person addressed it on an individual basis with the transportation? Was it resolved?
The result was that it stayed the way it was changed.
So people just pay a special permit with another name.
Now, if they want to park there, they have to have a central release
pass. Yeah.
For all of the handicapped,
so here's what works. Yeah, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to, in the interest of time, add that to the list. We'll get something set up with parking in the UA. And if there's a mobility issue or equity issue, I'm sure there's folks in human resources who are happy to maybe facilitate a different dialogue between the individual and the parking folks. Would that be the case?
You can add the new director of transportation.
Yeah. Mm. Jim, one more thing?
Related to this, I do one other thing. I do not believe, and I could be wrong, but I do not believe that the State Assembly has appointed their two representatives to the Infrastructure Committee or the Welfare Committee.
Oh.
So those appointments have been fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a matter of reappointing. But those two people, I would ask if the folks on the Infrastructure Committee can be identified if possible before you have your. Because they're the ones. We can really ensure that we're connected and we can double tap with you, Brad, or everybody or someone. And then Welfare Committee, different subject, Lynette Chapel-Williams has invited us to run a grants panel, that committee, the Campus Welfare Committee, run a grants panel towards the destination initiatives applications for the start of the year, and we've been very pleased that that was opportunistically accepted, but I need to expand the pool of the current CWC so that we can do that for them. It's, we pass a resolution to kind of say, okay, put your money where your mouth is, and so my team says we'll be able to do that, but we need a little more people power to make that happen. So if you could look at your appointments to our team committee, to particular those two, and any of these things that would be appreciated.
How often does the infrastructure, what do you mean by that? How often do they meet?
We're working on our standing committee issues right now, but fundamentally, the assembly and the standing committee, it's essentially two meetings a month commitment. Now, some of the work is as it comes. We're trying to rework it, but I fundamentally need to be prepared for like every other Tuesday. From September to April. As long as they need to be an hour.
Just a question. The committee members don't necessarily have to come to the UA meetings, though.
That's correct.
It really just would be one meeting a month?
No, it's on opposite.
No.
If our standing committees, this is more than you're going to want to know. The University Assembly is traditionally met one week a month, and the standing committees 2 weeks later. We didn't do that effectively last time. We're trying to find a better way to do that. And it may be the case that essentially the UA is meeting every 2 weeks, as are the standing committees, and meetings will be part UA meeting, part standing committees. Like we'll have the main assembly all together and then break out in the three standing committees. So that essentially there would be a 2 week commitment to these things, but you'd be involved with the whole daily work. The standing committees forge this up to the main UA, and you're going to want to be there whether the UA votes it to the president or not. You know what I mean? So we have not finalized that internally yet. So what I would tell you right now is you need to be thinking two meetings a month, about an hour each. We're trying to not be a burden, but we're trying to also maximize the effectiveness. So when the time is, not waste effort.
So the UA
standing committees do not, members do not need to be part of the UA meeting. You're more than welcome, obviously.
So if anybody does have a willingness or interest to serve on a UA committee,
most everyone has sent there. I'm missing probably a few. Yeah. But most everyone's given me like at least three top choices to then plug in, but I am missing a few more bodies.
But then I believe the EA owes you another body because Greg was on the EA.
Yeah,
you
still have one.
He's now chair, so there's another.
Yeah, there's that one. And that's all been sent out to everyone, just few voices have not.
And it doesn't have to be a member of the EA to sit on the UA. It can be any employee that we appoint by the EA. It's either three or two. It's either three or two.
There's the chair, and then there's four plus the chair, and I believe up to four. Two are intended to be body members, and two are general.
Fine. Yeah.
But I would tell you that if you can't find that, we
can
vote to suspend the rules. We can work together to get the right people there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and who's currently serving in the UA?
We have Rosemary,
Ned.
Yeah,
and actually Kathy's owner.
I mean,
as far as the CJC, Kathy's owner should probably be an ad hoc non-voting member of the CJC.
As the chief of police.
As the chief of police, but as an employee.
But currently she's on it as an employee.
Yes.
Yes, and I would recommend against that for other reasons that we discussed. It is your choice, and certainly hers. But she's a unique employee.
Very unique.
Like President Schwartz is an employee. He could sit on the council too, but...
Should we send him an invitation?
Oh, absolutely. He'd be a lot more effective when he's going to pass
it. Yeah. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there any dissent? All right. Just wanted to do that.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.